Well, I'm reading from Deuteronomy chapter 10, verses 1 to 13, and I have to say that I had some help from Chris Brown with the pronunciation of some very difficult place names in this passage, and he very helpfully and most impressively read them from the Hebrew Bible that he has on his phone, so they sound a little different to the way they appear as written. At that time, the Lord said to me, "Chisel out two stone tablets like the first ones and come up to me on the mountain. Also, make a wooden ark. I will write on the tablets the words that were on the first tablets which you broke. Then you are to put them in the ark." So I made the ark out of acacia wood and chiseled out two stone tablets like the first ones, and I went up on the mountain with the two tablets in my hands. The Lord wrote on these tablets what he had written before, the Ten Commandments he had proclaimed to you on the mountain out of the fire on the day of assembly. And the Lord gave them to me. Then I came back down the mountain and put the tablets in the ark I had made as the Lord commanded me, and they are there now. The Israelites traveled from the wells of Beni Yakan to Moserah, and there Aaron died and was buried, and Eleazar his son succeeded him as priest. From there they traveled to Gilgal and on to Yotbatar, a land with streams of water. At that time, the Lord set apart the tribe of Levi to carry the Ark of Covenant of the Lord, to stand before the Lord, to minister and to pronounce blessings in his name as they still do today. That is why the Levites have no share or inheritance among their fellow Israelites. The Lord is their inheritance, as the Lord your God told them. Now I had stayed on the mountain for 40 days and 40 nights as I did the first time, and the Lord listened to me at this time also. It was not his will to destroy you. Go, the Lord said to me, and lead the people on their way, so that they may enter and possess the land that I swore to their ancestors to give them. And now, Israel, what does the Lord your God ask of you but to fear the Lord your God, to walk in obedience to him, to love him, to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, and to observe the Lord's commands and decrees that I am giving you today for your own good. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Can we pray for Julia before she talks to us about that passage? Heavenly Father, we thank you that we have Julia with us this morning. We thank you for her faithfulness in you. And we thank you for the gift of her beautiful singing voice. We ask that you just be with her this morning and you give her your word to share with us. And we ask that you open our ears and our hearts to hear your word this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Lizette, and thank you, Anne, for such brilliant pronunciation. I feel like I'm learning Hebrew from you. So good. As Lizette said, we got baptized together in 2017, maybe 2018, a few years ago now. It was a joy. We got baptized here together. It was great. Good morning. My name is Julia. If we haven't met before, I'm worship lead at Christ Church, as Lizette already introduced, and In the rest of my life, I am a freelance singer and vocalist, which is a joy. I get to sing for a living. And that actually meant that last weekend, I was at a recording studio in Bath with a group of singers and a brass quintet recording a Christmas album, because that's what you do on one of the hottest weekends of the year in July. So that's the story of my life as a freelance vocalist. This morning, I really want to talk to you about priesthood and being part of the priesthood of believers. I think the word priest has lost some of its clout, maybe, in our modern language. We maybe have some sort of stereotypical associations when we hear the word priest. We think of cassocks and stoles and incense, maybe. We maybe even think of Janet and Paul and Chris and other people in our church community that are ordained in the Church of England. But I'd love us this morning to reimagine and reclaim the word priest from something that is alien and apart from us, something that other people do, and actually to reclaim it as part of our God-given identity when we come into the family of God. We are all called to be priests. We are all called to be priests. At the time of our reading in Deuteronomy, it was only the tribe of Levi that were called. You might have caught it in the verses 8 and 9 there. Only the tribe of Levi were set apart to be priests. But it was always God's intention that all children of God would be priests for his kingdom. The New Testament guys really understood this. There's that brilliant verse in 1 Peter chapter 2 that says, "As you come to him, the living stone, rejected by humans but chosen by God and precious to him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ." We are all called to be priests. But what on earth does that look like? How does that translate to our day-to-day lives? I confess, I'm not going to preach on the whole of that chapter of Deuteronomy. I'm going to zoom in and just focus on two little verses that you may have even missed while Anne was reading it. Just verses 8 and 9, which simply say, "At that time, the Lord set apart the tribe of Levi to carry the ark of the Lord, to carry the ark of the covenant of the Lord, to stand before the Lord to minister, and to pronounce blessings in his name, as they still do today." I don't know if you caught that, but there's three instructions there. There's three privileges that priests get to do as part of their calling. And I'm going to break those down for you now. The first one is to carry the ark of the covenant of the Lord. And that, I guess, needs a bit of translation into our modern context. What was the Ark of the Covenant? Well, in the time of the Israelites, if you remember, it was the hotspot of God's presence, the place where his presence actually dwelt amongst his people. God was so desperate to be near his people that even in their brokenness and their sin, he orchestrated a way for him to be right in the midst of them. And in the time of the Israelites, that looked like the tabernacle, the temple, and the ark of the covenant of the Lord. But when Jesus, God's own son, came to die on the cross and to rise again, he brought with him a new order and a new covenant, in which we are now the tabernacle, we are the temple. Like that 1 Peter passage, we are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood. So what does that mean? It means that we get to carry the very presence of God wherever we go. Biblically, wherever the Ark of the Covenant went, God's blessing, authority, and power went with it. The best way I find to think about this is in a metaphor around being a foreign diplomat. I don't know if you are aware, but when a foreign diplomat is in another country, so not the country that they hail from, wherever they step in that country legally becomes a representation of the country that they come from. Wherever they go, when they're going about their business in that country, they represent the country of origin that they are employed to represent as a diplomat. I find that hugely helpful to understand what it means to carry God's presence with me. As 2 Corinthians says, now we are ambassadors for Christ. Wherever we go in our day-to-day walks, we get to represent the rule and reign of God's kingdom. We get to bring with us the very presence of God. We get to bring with us his blessing, his authority, and his power. So what does that look like in our day-to-day moments? It might be that when we're packing up our groceries at the end of the shopping queue, that's a chance, that's a moment for the cashier to meet with the living God. We get to steward meeting places between God and his people. If you're queuing for a coffee in Nero's in Clifton, that's a chance for the barista or the woman in line behind you to meet with God. And let's not overthink this. You know, I'm not saying that we have to go about our days constantly laying on hands for people or constantly offering to pray for people, although that can sometimes be good. All I'm saying is we carry the presence of God with us wherever we go. So when we come across panic, we can bring his peace. When we come across sickness, we have the authority to bring into the room Jehovah Rapha, the God who heals. When we find a place of deep despair or hopelessness, we can bring his love, his comfort, his light. That might even be through the simplicity of a considered word, or through offering a haircut to someone who maybe hasn't had one in 22 years. Maybe a silent prayer, or by simply noticing someone who hasn't ever been noticed before. The second part of our calling, to stand before the Lord to minister. This part of our job description, if you will, as priests, is sweeter still. What a joy and a privilege to stand before the King of Kings and to minister to his heart. This aspect of our priestly identity gets right to the heart of worship. Let me make a simple but important point here. There is not a single word for worship in the Bible, whether Greek or Hebrew, that includes the idea of ministry to mankind. Worship is simply not for us. It is for God. We make a dangerous mistake when we start to make worship about us, when we start to center worship around our preferences, around our tastes, our comforts, our opinions. Worship is not for us. It is for God. It is ministry for his pleasure, his heart, his tastes, his desires. It was never meant for the entertainment of man. And it's not that God needs it because he is insecure or needy. It is because he made us, he wired us to worship. And when we minister to his heart, when we worship him, we are our fullest original design. A priest's first ministry is to God. Don't get me wrong, God loves people. God loves people. And if we're going about our Father's business, we have to be about people. But We will have nothing to offer if we are empty ourselves. For the house to be effective, God has to be in it. And how does God come into the house? He comes in when his priests minister to his heart. He enters in. We enthrone him on our praises. Whether that house is Christ Church Clifton or whether that house is our own spiritual house, our own bodily house, minister to God first. Let that be your starting place and the rest will follow. Ministering to God's heart is actually really simple. It is whatever will bless, honor, or bring glory to him. We minister to God's heart when we start singing a song spontaneously from our hearts to God while we're doing the washing up, which I confess I do on a regular basis. We minister to God when we notice a parent in the playground who is struggling with their kids and we offer a word of encouragement or a helping hand. What would it look like if this time tomorrow, whatever we're doing, or maybe even later this afternoon, we take a moment to set aside our activity as ministry to God's heart? You might just be gardening in your garden, and you take a moment to say, God, I love your creation. I love the beauty of what you've made. Help me steward this little bit of land that you have blessed me with. Help me enjoy it and enjoy your presence with me as I do so. Jesus, I'm about to present our last quarter's figures to a room full of people who are only interested in profit. Help me honor you and minister to your heart by persuading us to move our attention to our wider impact as a company and not just our bottom line. Everything we do can be translated into ministry into God's heart. We can do this everywhere and every moment. And in fact, the more we do it in the most simple, mundane, ordinary moments of life, the more that when we come together, when we gather together as God's people, we will come overflowing with testimonies of his goodness and his activity in the times when we've been apart. And we will come together positively desperate, champing at the bit to praise his name for all that he is doing. Finally, we are called to pronounce blessings in his name. A bit like the word priest, I think that the word blessing has lost some of its power in our modern associations with it. I don't know about you, but I'm certainly guilty of this, of just tilting my head slightly and going, oh, bless you, oh, bless you. And that doesn't really capture the fullness of the biblical meaning of the word blessing. When we say bless you, we often just mean, oh, I wish good things for you. I wish happiness and good things for you. But biblically, blessing was meant so much more than that. If you think about the patriarchs in the Bible, people like Isaac pronouncing blessing over his son Jacob, it was a catalyst for his destiny. Blessing in the Bible often meant seeing the good, the gold, the God in someone, and calling it out into reality, calling it into existence. It is a powerful thing to bless someone. And we get to do that, whether it's blessing one another when we gather together, or whether it's blessing others as we are out and about in the city and in our neighborhoods. We get to see the good, the gold, and the God in someone and say, hey, I see this in you. Have you ever noticed that about yourself? I call that out into existence. Go and walk in that reality. So, we get to carry the presence of God. We get to stand before the Lord to minister to his heart. And we get to pronounce blessings in his name. I don't know about you, but that gets me really excited. I think being a priest is one of the most beautiful and maybe underused parts of our identity as children of God. Let me pray for us as we think on these things. Jesus, thank you for the identity that you bought for us on the cross. That through your death and resurrection, we have the right to become children of God and priests for your kingdom. Would you help us in the week to come to live out this reality of our calling and our identity? Would you help us walk in the reality that we get to carry your presence with us wherever we go? That we get the privilege and the joy of ministering to your heart in all that we do. And that we get to pronounce blessings in your name over those that we meet. By your Spirit, would you help us claim our identity as priests for your kingdom and the joy and the privilege that it is to do that? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.